If you would like to pick them up, the quarterly financial statements are here on the front pew. Thank you, Susan. Back in the office a little bit ago before we had scripture reading, Brother Merle, I can't remember whether he said he heard or read today. He said, I'd like to be like a little girl I heard about today. He said they were going to church. Been real dry, and they were going to pray for rain, and she took her umbrella with her. Would to God we might come to God's house just that way, expecting the Lord God to pour down upon our souls the rain of heaven. As you all know, we have dear friends who are going through trouble. By God's good, wise providence, He's brought them into deep waters. They carry heaviness, confusion, difficulty. Brother David Coleman and his wife Teresa, Brother Bruce Crabtree and his wife Jo, Brother Skip Gladfelt and his wife Sandy, all going through tough times right now. Trying to pray for them, God the Holy Ghost has kept one passage of Scripture on my heart almost incessantly for the past few days. It's familiar and I hope precious to you all. The 23rd Psalm. I'm sure you can recite it from memory, but I want you to turn there and hold your Bibles open on your lap as we read this psalm together and I try to give you a message from God. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Throughout the scriptures, our Lord Jesus is spoken of as a shepherd. He is that good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. He is that great shepherd who rules in heaven for his sheep. He is that chief shepherd to whom we have come and to whom we have been turned and who will come again to receive us into glory at the last day. Our Lord Jesus was called by his Father to be our shepherd before the world began. And he stood forth voluntarily, assuming all responsibility for his sheep. I haven't begun to grasp that like it needs to be grasped. And I sure haven't stated it like it needs to be stated. Jesus Christ, our shepherd, before the world began, assumed all responsibility for his sheep. He pledged himself as the shepherd to go and redeem the sheep, to seek out and find his sheep, to give his sheep eternal life, and to bring his sheep with him into the heavenly fold at the last day. And the triune Jehovah trusted our Savior with his sheep, committed to him all his sheep, and looked to him to fulfill all things for his sheep. Our blessed Lord Jesus is well qualified as our shepherd. He is the omniscient God. He knows his sheep. He knows all our maladies. He knows all our needs. He knows where His sheep are. He knows what their case is. He knows what must be done for them. He's not only omniscient, all-knowing God, He's omnipotent, the Almighty God. He has all power in heaven and in earth. Now that means that His sheep are never in danger. His sheep are not now in danger, have never been in danger, and can never be in danger in any circumstance. This shepherd can well provide for His sheep, protect His sheep, defend His sheep, and save His sheep. In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And He, our shepherd, will guide and direct His sheep. Always in the best path in which they can walk. He orders our steps, and He always sees to it that His sheep walk in the best path possible for their souls. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have nothing to fear, and everything to give me hope, comfort, and peace while I live in this world. I can think of no better, more God-honoring way to describe Christ as our shepherd than by using the words of David, written by divine inspiration in this 23rd Psalm. Now, as I do and try to give you the message of the Psalm, I want to use every word of the Psalm as David wrote it, personally. Personally. I'm going to tell you what I have proved for more than 50 years. What I've experienced in my life. I'm going to talk to you plainly. I hope that you who are God's can join me and read the Psalm personally. Read the Psalm in the first person singular for yourself. Wherever you can jump in, just jump in. First, here is my possession. What a possession it is. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. My possession. My property. What a statement. It is one thing for the Lord to declare I'm His. It is one thing for the shepherd to say, of these sheep, these are mine. But here, the sheep lifts his voice and speaks with confidence. David spoke in faith, and he spoke by divine inspiration, and says, the Lord is my shepherd. He is my personal possession. He does not say the Lord is our shepherd. He says the Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord was or the Lord shall be. Rather, he says the Lord is my shepherd. He speaks with confidence about a present reality. Looking over the sheep in the field, perhaps scattered around the hillside beside him, David looked at the shepherd tending those sheep, and he says, that's what the Lord is to me. He is my shepherd. Trusting Christ as his shepherd, David could not doubt his interest in the shepherd. I call him my shepherd, and I do so for one reason. Because God has given me faith in him. He has called me by his grace and caused me to hear his voice and given me grace to follow him. Following him. Now hear me. Following him. Are you listening? Following him is neither more nor less than believing him. I can't state that emphatically enough. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I give unto them eternal life, and they follow me. They follow me. To follow him is to live before God by faith in him. It is to trust him. Following him is not acting like him. Following him is not trying to do things that you think he would do, though certainly those things are involved. Following him is believing him. I know he's my shepherd because I trust him as my shepherd. I trust his arm of might. I trust his infinite wisdom and goodness. I trust his purpose and grace. I trust his providence. I trust his blood. I trust his righteousness. I trust him as my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd expresses faith in him, affection for him, and joy because of him. Now this is what I want you to see. If you trust Christ, he's your shepherd. You have every reason to confidently state, for your soul's joy, comfort, and peace, the Lord is my shepherd. Turn to John chapter 10. Let me show you. John chapter 10. This very familiar chapter of Scripture. The Lord Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He who comes by fulfilling all things written in the Scriptures enters in by the door. He's the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. The Spirit of God opens the word and opens the way in your heart. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name. And he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verse 26. But ye believe not, he said to the Pharisees, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now settle this question. Settle this question. Do you trust the Son of God? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you trust the Lamb of God, his blood, his righteousness, his eternal Godhead, his power, his grace? Do you trust him? I don't mean do you trust him for your salvation, though certainly I mean that. I don't mean do you trust him to take you to heaven when this life is ended, though certainly it includes that. I mean, do you trust him? Do you trust him? The just do not begin to live by faith only. The just live by faith. We live trusting him, committing to him, to his care, to his arm, to his might, to his wisdom, to his goodness, to his purpose, all things. If you trust him, he's your shepherd. We mustn't fail to observe the position of this psalm. Psalm 23 comes just after Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross. Spurgeon wrote, we must by experience know the value of the blood shedding and see the sword awakened against the shepherd before we shall be able truly to know the sweetness of the good shepherd's care. And if we know the blessedness of the Savior's blood shedding and the sweetness of the good shepherd's care, we will know the blessedness of Christ, our great shepherd who reigns in heaven, described in chapter 24. If the Lord is my shepherd, and I cannot doubt that he is, then I belong to him. I'm his property. He owns me. And the fact that I belong to him gives me the utmost confidence and security. I'm his. I'm his. I would be horribly sad and disappointed if my wife didn't trust me to do the best for her. If she didn't trust me to care for her. If she didn't trust me to gladly sacrifice anything for her. I'd be horribly sad, horribly disappointed if my daughter didn't trust me like that. Oh, how we ought to trust him who has taken us for his own. Always and in all things. I was chosen of God and given to Christ as one of his elect sheep from the foundation of the world. And he is responsible for his sheep. This is the Father's will, he said, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise him up at the last day. The Lord Jesus redeemed me and purchased me with his blood. He called me by his grace, sought me out, found me, and laid me on his shoulders, and he will bring me safely home to his heavenly fold. He has promised they shall never perish. When I die, my shepherd will carry me home with joy. And at the appointed hour, my shepherd will appear and raise my body to glory. And when he does, he will rejoice. And I will rejoice with him. Now these things the shepherd has promised he will do for all his sheep. Other sheep also I must bring, that they may behold my face, that there may be one fold and one shepherd. One of the most delightful words in this opening sentence is this little personal possessive pronoun, my. The Lord is my shepherd. Personally mine. Distinctly mine. Perpetually mine. And it's written in the present tense. Whatever my position is, whatever my condition is, wherever I am his sheep. Under his watchful eye, his tender care. All the time. While we were having lunch today, Shelby taught me something. I never thought of it, I don't think. She said, I was reading this morning and thinking how that we are engraved on the palms of his hands. Did you ever think about how often you look at your hands? I doubt you look at anything more often than you look at your hands. How often you see your hand? We're always before his tender eye, in the hand of his loving care as our sheep, or as his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. What a great possession. Now second, here are my privileges. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the most reasonable conclusion imaginable. If the Lord is my shepherd, what shall I want? How shall God not with him also freely give us all things? Our Lord Jesus asked his disciples on one occasion as they were talking about having forsaken all to follow him. He said, lacked ye anything? Lacked ye anything? And they answered, nothing, Lord. I shall not want any temporal good thing. I shall not want any temporal thing that's good. None of Christ's sheep lack anything in this world that is needful, useful, and good for them. Ever. Mark, you never lack and never have and never will lack anything needful, useful, and good for you. Never. Never. Sheep do not feed, clothe, and protect themselves. They're fed, clothed, and protected by the shepherd. David said in Psalm 37, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Spending my life out here on this hill, I have over the years had a good many folks to knock on the door and some to barge in without knocking. I've had folks to call me begging for somebody to help them with their groceries or help them with a light bill or help with this, that, or the other thing. I'll tell you what I've never experienced. What I've never seen. I haven't seen it yet. May see it tomorrow, but I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen ever, not one person who worshiped God knock on that door and ask for such. I haven't seen it. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The Lord God, our shepherd, provides for all his own, all we need. More importantly, I shall not want any spiritual good thing. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, given to us from eternity in him. That includes all God's purpose, all his purposed providence. These are God's blessings for us, all of them. They are such things as the Lord performs for us. On occasion, those things he performs for us feel very painful. But he performs them not against us, not just to us, but for us. When Faith was growing up, I tried to never do it in public because I didn't want to just embarrass her. But if she didn't obey me, she knew as soon as we got in private, she was going to suffer for it. She was going to suffer pain for it. She would feel it where she sits. She knew that was going to happen. I intended to make her hurt. That was my purpose in laying the paddle to her backside. I intended for her to cry because I wanted to do for her what you know her to be. I wanted her to be a responsible young lady, a good wife, a good mother. I wanted her to be what she's turned out to be. Our Heavenly Father graciously, wisely, tenderly, lovingly applies to our souls, to our hearts, to our lives, painful affliction for us. For us. That we might be made partakers of his righteousness, of his holiness, that we might enjoy everlasting life in perfect union with his Son. Christ is the one in whom all fullness dwells, and we have all things because we have him. Paul deduces that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He deduces it not by logic, but by inspiration. He said, Christ is yours. That means that all things are yours. All things are yours because Christ has everything. We shall never want for clothing, spiritual clothing. For he is the Lord our righteousness and clothes us with the garments of salvation. We shall never want for spiritual food, for he is the bread of life. We shall never want for physical drink, for he is the fountain of living waters. Our hearts shall never want for rest, for he is our Sabbath. And we rest in him. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you shall find rest unto your souls. That's two aspects of this rest. The sinner, bowed by God's grace, comes to Christ, and He gives us rest. And as we make our way through this world, we are called by Him to bow to Him, to slip under His yoke. And the only way we ever find rest for our souls is when we bow to Him. How disinclined we are to bow. How disinclined we are to bow. Oh, how foolishly disinclined. Thank you, blessed Spirit of God, for never leading us to ourselves, but for graciously forcing us to bow, that we may find rest unto our souls. These words could be translated, I shall not fail, or I shall not come short. And if that's the case, then the meaning would be, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not fail to attain to eternal life, eternal glory, eternal happiness. Isn't that something? I fully expect to enter into heavenly glory because the Lord is my shepherd. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Look at verse 2. The privileges go on. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The green pastures are found in this book, in His Word. The green pastures here are always lush, green, and full. The sheep never bite dirt here. It's always lush, green pastures. These pastures are pastures in which we lay down with comfort to eat. Lay down, not like sheep normally do, but we lay comfortably. And He graciously causes us to eat from the green pastures that give us rest. As I said before, we're not inclined to. We're not inclined to take His yoke upon us. We're not inclined to bow to Him. But He maketh presently. Continually. While we live in this world, He so works in us by His grace that He makes us lie down in green pastures. Pastures of covenant grace. Pastures of His infinite mercy, love, and grace. Pastures revealing the person and work of our Savior Himself, the blessed doctrines of the gospel, His sweet promises. He sweetly forces us to lie down. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What a gentle word, leadeth. Leadeth. Gently, thoughtfully, tenderly, Christ leads. Like Jacob of old led his cattle and his family as they were able to bear, so Christ graciously, gently leads us beside the still waters. Waters of quietness. To these waters we would never come if He didn't graciously, gently, but always effectually lead us. He doesn't drive us to the waters. He leads us. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The Lord Jesus leads us into spiritual communion with the triune God. He leads us through the Scriptures and in the Scriptures. He leads us, and all who thirst are bidden of Him to come to the waters that He opens and drink freely. He leads us at last into heaven's eternal glory. And there He continually will lead us by fountains of living water. Verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. how often he's come to me when I could not and would not go to him. When I stray, he fetches me back. When I seem to be dying within, he revives and refreshes. He restoreth my soul. Oh, thank you for such grace. He gives fresh discoveries of his love. Fresh experiences of his grace. He causes his promises to fall fresh on our hearts. Gives us fresh memory of his sacrifice. Remembrance of his dominion. And fresh correction by his Spirit. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What's he talking about? Paths. Plural. Paths of righteousness. Paths of righteousness. Perhaps he's referring to the path of faith. Certainly that's path of righteousness. Perhaps he's referring to the path of obedience and love. Certainly that's a path of righteousness. Paths of righteousness, what are they? Are you listening? Paths that are right. Merle Hart, whatever the path he has for you, it's right. Wherever it takes you tomorrow, it's right. These are paths of righteousness. Paths that he has in righteousness ordained for us. Paths that he has in righteousness brought us. Paths through which he will in righteousness carry us. They are his paths. And he leads us in them for his name's sake. Commenting on this passage, John Gill rightly observed, Christ leads his sheep by faith to walk on in him and in his righteousness. Looking through his righteousness, on account of his righteousness, for eternal life. He does it for his name's sake, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Read up. Here, in verse 4, I'll tell you about my protection. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. If Christ leads me in the path, as long as I live in this world, walking through this valley of the shadow of death, I have no reason to fear any evil. Not Satan, the evil one. No reason to fear him. No reason to fear any evil man. David said, the Lord is my light and not my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I will fear no evil. Nothing evil. Nothing. No evil word. No evil assault. No evil intent. No evil design. No evil outside. Not even the evil that's in me. The Lord is my refuge. He's my shepherd. I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thou art with me. I'll take you by the right hand of my righteousness, and I'll hold you up. That's his promise. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and staff were used both for counting the sheep and protecting the sheep. He will bring us under the rod and number his sheep as he brings them into the covenant. And when he brings us into heavenly glory, brings us under the rod and numbers his sheep. He takes the rod to protect his sheep. And he takes the crook of the rod to retrieve his straying sheep. With the rod, he directs his sheep. He taps them here, taps them there, and directs them in the way they should go. With the rod, beats off the foes of his sheep. Soon, we will pass through the last of our trials. Soon, you and I will go down to the grave. But remember, it's just the valley of the shadow of death for us. It's just the valley of the shadow of death for us. When I was a small child, I don't even remember it, but I am sure that I experienced times when I would see a shadow and be just terrified of some large shadow. I don't ever remember it, but I'm sure it must have happened. But it's so far back in my memory that I don't know anything about being afraid of a shadow. Well, you shouldn't much expect a fellow my size to be, would you? Afraid of a shadow? What's a shadow going to do? We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we have no reason to fear any evil in this valley through which we walk, because our Savior has taken away sin, the sting of death. He's taken away the strength of death, the law that condemned and cursed us. And now we walk through the valley of the shadow of death with no fear of evil, knowing that God's elect shall never taste death. God's elect shall never taste death. Like Enoch, who was translated that he should not taste death, all God's elect shall be translated into glory and never taste death. Now, Pastor, you're talking over your head now. I know that, but not beyond the heart. Our Lord said, "He that liveth and believeth on me shall never die." And if you shall never die, you can't taste it. He tasted death for us, that we should never taste death, but rather we shall simply pass through this valley. Now, look at our provision. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Enemies all around. And they get plumb upset because we feast with such comfort. But because the Lord is my shepherd and I am his sheep, this is my unfailing, constant provision. He prepares a table before me, ever to feast. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Oh, I'm here to tell you, he does. And he will prepare that table before us in heaven's glory. The rich man, unlike Lazarus, feasts sumptuously all the time now. I'm sorry, Lazarus, unlike the rich man, excuse me. Look at verse 5. Thou anointest my head with oil as the Holy One, as the priest, as one chosen of God, anointed with his Spirit to seal and preserve me, to teach all things to me, to fill us with comfort and joy. He so provides for me that my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. When my wife serves up my soup bowl, I take great care to let her set it on the table. And there's a reason for that. There's always too much in it for me to carry. If I were to carry it from the sink here to the table there, I'd spill soup. It's always brought to me full. My Savior fills my cup always to overflowing. little schoolgirl, was asked to recite the 23rd Psalm. And she stood up and said, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want." And she got it just right. The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want. Now let me give you my prospect and I'll be done. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness has been pursuing me for 68 years. Mercy had been nipping at my heels for 68 years. And it will continue to all the days of my appointed time on this earth. And when goodness and mercy have done chasing me, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. While I'm here, I will be a child at home with Christ. The whole world in my Father's house. And when I leave this world, I will not change company or even addresses. I'm just going upstairs. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some years ago, I read about an event when a very famous actor, well-known public speaker who was known for his qualities, stood before an audience and recited the 23rd Psalm. And the next night, he and a friend who worked with him went to hear a preacher who read the 23rd Psalm and had a tough time reading it. But when it was over, the fellow who helped the actor said to him, "Last night when you gave us that psalm so perfectly, everyone paid attention and listened. But tonight, when that poor preacher stumbled around and read that psalm, there was hardly a dry eye in the place. Why?" And the actor looked at his friend and said to him, "I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. Let's see if we can read the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Lindsay, let's sing a couple of verses of a hymn.